Welcome to the Beat Goes On podcast. I would love to welcome Samantha Zink. So I think the universe brought us together. Will you tell us a little bit about yourself? It's better coming from you than me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, thank you for the introduction. I am Samantha Zink. I'm the CEO and founder of Zink Talent. And Zink Talent is a boutique influencer management agency. Aside from Zink Talent, I do have a podcast. I'm actually coming up on my 1 year mark, so very exciting.
Oh, yes, congrats. That's a lot of dedication. You guys have no idea to run a company and to stay in it and with a podcast is a lot of work.
So, oh yeah. And I'm writing a book, which is just
I saw crazy. That.
Yeah. So a lot of things happening, all exciting. I'm looking forward to chatting with you further and just sharing more insight into everything. And I guess for context, I live in Los Angeles.
Gotcha.
Where are you based?
We're based out of Savannah, Georgia. However, my company is kind of all over, but I just was so excited to have you on to learn about influential marketing and what you do and what tips you can give us and what, you know, we have a ton of female business owners on here. You know, tell us, you know, give us some knowledge.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny. When I went to college, I never thought that I was going to be a business owner, and that was never the plan. And I never felt inspired to be a business owner. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of us growing up, we were never really taught that, especially in college. You know, it was like pick a major mm-hmm. and then you're going to get out, work for somebody. And then that's that. And I did just that. I graduated. I moved to New York City. I was in fashion PR. I climbed the corporate ladder, jumped from agency to agency. It was very much so the devil wears product.
Mm-hmm. I mean, product. Oh, wow. So you had a ball. You had a boss like that.
Yes, it was spot on. Man. It's crazy, but you know what? It was very toxic. But I do feel like it helped me grow as a person. Mm-hmm. It gave me tough skin. And the thing with women powerhouses like that, you know, they are sort of like traditional. They are a bit older, and so they don't know how to be like loving and caring. And I think just. In recent years, things have shifted, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely.
We move and train and work with people and have like empathy and kindness. But New York City in the 90s wasn't mm-hmm. like that. You know, it was like these women powerhouses. We're not going to be friends. You're not going to know me. You're going to basically work your way up to be anything in my company and prove yourself. And that still sort of carries on to this day. It's just a New York City thing, a fashion PR thing, but it's a dying breed because obviously.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. But that was my life. And I just didn't know anything else. I was like, okay, this is it. I was living paycheck to paycheck. And I just sort of accepted this to be my reality. I started working with influencers. It's kind of funny because if you're a business owner, you sort of pick up on these traits before starting your business that like, mm-hmm. like an aha moment of like, oh, wow, I was outspoken and, you know, I was a leader. And it's almost like you're a black sheep in the company and mm-hmm. especially the companies that don't want to hear you out and don't want you to voice your opinion because there's so many companies that are like, hey, we want you to be a thought starter and we want you to share how you're feeling and help grow the company and give us ideas. And then as soon as you do so, they're like, well, no, we're going to go with my idea anyways, or the client's idea.
Yeah. All that work and creativity for what?
Yeah. I mean, it was just crazy because I'm like, why even have these brainstorming meetings if you're mm-hmm. not going to listen to the people that are doing the work and experiencing right. the feedback? So I was always pretty outspoken in the agencies and I was like, I love learning from people. I do. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how you evolve. That's how you grow. That's how I was able to ultimately start a business. So, but then I would speak my opinion and it just, I don't know, no one would listen to me.
That's frustrating.
I was even let go of a company and they were like, we just don't have a need for you anymore. And I'm like, it's a public relations agency. I'm a publicist. There's, you know, like something's not adding up here.
Right.
And they just wanted me to kind of just do what they wanted and not speak up. And so I went to a different agency and then I worked with influencers and social media a bit more. Press was dying down. Influencers were on the rise. This is around 2017. And it was New York Fashion Week. I was very exhausted. And I'm on the subway. And it's kind of a crazy story because I feel like some people are like, okay, I want to be a business owner. I want to do this. I was just on the subway and the universe planted the seed in my mind, manage influencers. It wasn't even like be a business owner. It wasn't anything like that. It was like manage influencers. I was on the brand side and it, you know, something in my intuition was telling me to jump to the other side and start it as a side hustle. That same day, I went back to the office and I started creating my brand. I didn't even know what that was or looked like or anything. And that was the first day. And then, you know, fast forward to now, 5 years later, I have employees. I have clients globally, around 55 clients. We're growing rapidly. So I think the underlying message here, and at least in my story, is to always trust your intuition because you don't know. I didn't know I was going to be a business owner. And then I was like, all right, well, I have this feeling that I need to do this and I need to take action towards this idea.
And I love that you were in the corporate world and like it wasn't resonating and you were trying to force it. You know, you're trying to force it and do the college and the right thing. And I love that that came to you on the subway. I love that. That, for it to come to you like that. And I love that you said that the universe, I know I read about you a lot. You are a spiritual person. You're a girl boss. You've done a lot of really impressive things from nothing, from your own creative ideas. And now you have a book. And the book's not published yet.
No, we're just beginning stages. Yeah, so we good. Have a solid year until it'll be published.
But still, keep me in the loop because I really want to support you with that. Because, writing a book is a big deal. And to have a podcast and to also be running a company with employees, I mean, that is super impressive. So you definitely have to keep me in the loop with the book. Missy, my podcast producer is always like, you need to write a book. I'm like, when do I have time? So when I found out you wrote a book too, I was like, I can't wait to have her on. I just need to see how she juggles all of this. It's super impressive.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know. You'll have to come like circle back with me in a few months.
I will. And I'm going to support the podcast in the meantime, because you have a lot of great, I'd like to have female entrepreneurs on here. Obviously that's why you're here, but you do the same. So I think it was just meant to be that we cross paths.
Yeah.
It really was. And I've enjoyed the guests that you've had on yours. So what was the idea for your podcast?
So it's another, okay. So something about me, I guess I should preface with this is I have these like epiphanies or like thought starters or like seeds planted. And each time I just go with my intuition and go straight into action. I'm not one of those people that sit there and I'm like, okay, this would be a good idea, but right now is not the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna, like, maybe in 6 months or maybe in a year, I'm not that person. I'm like, okay, if there's an idea and I don't think about the bigger picture or what I have on my plate, I'm just like, straight to it. So I was out to all of my employees, they're Gen Z. They're ranging from 22 to 27. I'm 33. So we're very close family style. And we talk about everything. And they would always tell me like, oh my gosh, this is amazing advice, or I never knew this. And I was out to dinner with two of them and they brought it up. They were like, you need a podcast. You're like an older sister and you have all this wisdom in every area, especially, you know, I didn't want a podcast on dating, but I'm able to, it's like growing up when you're, like mother figures, like, you know, don't chase, you attract. And if, if he wanted to, he would. And you're like, mom, you know nothing, right? And then you get a little older and you're like, okay, I now know what my mother was trying to tell me.
And I love that you're such a, you're a business, a company owner, a podcast producer. I love that you'll be vulnerable and talk about dating. That's hard to do. I do it as well on this podcast. I'll have my solo episodes where I talk about, my things that are going on with me too. So that takes a lot of vulnerability and courage. So kudos to you for doing that. I'm 40 and I also mentor, I have Gen Z millennials that I mentor both of my, I have a female business group in Savannah where I'm from, but I also have a, you know, the spray tan partners all over. So, I love, that's one of the things I loved when I stumbled upon you was how much you, what a positive, strong influence. You can have it all. You can date, you can have your own company, you can have a podcast, you can write a book. I mean, it's, you're setting a very good example, for women, and we all need those because you don't learn this shit in college.
None of it. You don't know. I mean, you, and I tell them too, I'm like, they're all in their 20s and I'm like, I wish there was a better answer, but it's not going to get like better until you're 30. And then that's just that.
And then it's a whole world of different problems. And don't even get me started.
We just get into other problems. Yeah. I mean, the problems never end, but I guess I never realized how horrible your 20s are. I love time. Then I turned 30 and it was like, I now know who I am. I have more respect for myself. I'm more driven. I have hobbies, priorities. I don't deal with things. I'm a big respect girl. In my 20s, none of those qualities. I was just, you're kind of just feeling yourself out and figuring it out. And
that's okay. It's okay. And I hate that people, that women in their 20s think that they should have it, or anyone in their 20s for that matter, think that they should have it figured out. There is a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. And I also loved what you said about New York, like that it's a pastime. Like there, you can be kind and loving and lead with love, but also be a leader, which I love that you're proving that. And all of the things that you're doing, a book, a podcast, and the way you're running your company. And I love that you're running your company and leading with love as someone who deals with influencers and influencer marketing, because it can be a rough business. So mm-hmm. I love that there's a strong, beautiful woman with compassion and empathy and kindness doing that. So that was one of the things I was really impressed. You know, I stalked you. I've been stalking you.
Yeah, I know. You're so sweet too. I mean, yeah.
It's a breath of fresh air. It really is. It really honestly is.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I don't know, kind of going back to my 20s and working for people, I did cry in the office, and mm-hmm. there was a lot of, you know, just toxic competition. We were over-promising and under-delivering to our clients. And then it just was like everything was going wrong, and mm-hmm. it was always an emergency, a state of an emergency at all times. And I started my business and I'm like, who wants to live like that?
Nobody.
You know?
So how do you deal with the struggles of business now? Like, I'm sure that set you up, those struggles and that treatment and that craziness probably set you up to be able to handle your own business too, though. You gained some, you know, you had some thick skin. And, you know, how do you give advice to someone? Because we both own companies now. Like, what advice would you give? I like for people, my business partners, I like for them to hear it from women like you, 33 years old, kicking ass. Like, on those days that even owning the business is rough, like, what do you do as a business owner to like take that deep breath? But then what do you do also on your personal level? Because, you know, how do you juggle it? Like, what is your like go-to?
So three words that I live by, and especially now more than ever, all is well. Mm-hmm. And that has saved me in every situation. There's things that are going to go wrong in every area of your life. And either you can like really like let it take control of your life and stay in that negative energy. And then once you're like, my life is horrible. This of course is happening to me, mm-hmm. you know, basically like attracting all that negativity and negative energy, more things are going to spiral and mm-hmm. go wrong. I sit with myself and I, you know, I'm thinking, all right, you know, that happened. I could scream. I could just mm-hmm. close my laptop and go have some cocktails across the street. Or I could just say, you know what? All is well. Tomorrow's a new day. We're going to get mm-hmm. through this. And I don't act with emotion. So mm-hmm. one of the best qualities of any like CEO, entrepreneur, businesswoman, or man, you don't act with emotion. Mm-hmm. You're running a business.
Right.
So you can't be upset. You can't be depressed. You have to sit with it and move on, move forward. Mm-hmm.
You have to have that thinking time. I call it thinking time. Like, move through it. Stick with the business. Stick with the facts.
Exactly. I mean, there's too much to lose at this point. Mm-hmm. So even if something is going wrong in your family or mm-hmm. dating or just even outside factors to the business, you know, when you have employees, when you have all these people, clients, all these people relying mm-hmm. on you, you can't just go haywire and let something take control of your life. You have to like sit with yourself. There's nothing I can do to change this. Maybe you need a day and you pull in your COO or somebody who can really like oversee and just be like, listen, I need a day. I have to take care of stuff. Then you've got to go right back in and you got to figure it out. And that's, yes. You signed up for this, right?
Like, exactly. You didn't come this far just to come this far.
It is what it is.
That's really good advice. One of my favorite mantras that I listen to when I'm in my chill moments, mm-hmm. one of the favorite one is, and all it is a woman, I'll send it to you, is a woman singing, all is well.
Wait, really?
All will be well. Yeah, I'll send it to you. She has the most beautiful voice, but it's just over and over and over. It's this calming music. And I, on those days, you know, sometimes I just get in my car and play it. So I think, and that's it. Mm-hmm. I have five of my favorites and that's one of my favorites. So I love that you said that.
Yeah, I'm chill. That's amazing. And like, you don't really think of it being so substantial, like all is well, what do you mean? But no, like sit with it, really feel it, mm-hmm. ground yourself with it. And I've learned with like any tragedy in my life and, you know, things have gone wrong. I don't mm-hmm. have lucky girl syndrome. I don't really believe in that. Things have gone wrong. Things will continue going wrong, but I can't change it. I can't mm-hmm. dwell and be depressed or let anxiety take over any of
well, it doesn't things. Help anything. It doesn't do anything. It serves no purpose for moving forward or helping with anything. So I love that. And it really is impressive that you came from something corporate, have your own company now. I feel like when I was 33, I did not have it figured out yet. I just started to figure out, I was very high strung. I made things more dramatic and traumatic than they needed to be. Mm-hmm. And so it's really, I had to learn through trial and error of emotional stress that I caused on myself with my own thoughts, how to push mm-hmm. through and get past that. So it's really impressive that you have that. You're a great mentor to these Gen Zs and they should listen to you. At the same time, like, how do you feel about the work ethic of the 30s versus the 20s these days?
Yeah. So when I created my company, I did not follow any guidelines. Mm-hmm. I knew exactly what I wanted. And I'm like, you can't compare it to another talent agency because I didn't look to other talent agencies. I literally just like took what was in my head and implemented it. Mm-hmm. So I knew that when I was working in PR and I had a salary, you know, I could work really hard or I could slack off. Or I could be in the office, not in the office. I made the same salary. So mm-hmm. I didn't really have incentive and I didn't realize there was other companies that provided incentive payment options or payroll mm-hmm. options. So when I started hiring people, I mean, I could not pay people in the very beginning. I never had an investor. I never had loans. It was all my own money. And I didn't hire until I had the means to do so. So mm-hmm. I started working with interns because they were what I could afford. And my whole thing
Smart.
Was... Yeah. My whole thing That's was, smart. Hey, I'll pay you whatever was the intern like hourly rate at that time. And then I will give you commission on every deal that you book. So what that means is a partnership between an influencer and a brand through their pitching. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, and then I was like, but if you reach a certain number of revenue, I'll give you a monthly bonus.
Bonus. Smart.
So then I'm able to pay them, but they have to earn it.
Right.
You know, like I did like the
That's a really good business model because incentive works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So but it was like obviously I had to pay them their hourly rate and then I just kind of added to it. So then when I'm finally able to take on employees, like really take on employees, I hired through my intern pool. So people that were interning mm-hmm. for me that wanted to work, I was like, perfect time. I'm gonna hire you. Here's what I'm offering. I offered them base salary. And then I kept what has always worked for me, commission and bonus.
Love
so,
it.
you could be a Gen Z slacker and feel like you don't need to put in 100%. And I've had some of those, but they mm-hmm. don't make it to me hiring them. And then the Gen Z that really kill it, and I teach them everything I know, and I train them. No one else trains in the company, just me. And I train them to be a hustler like I am. And I mm-hmm. was at that age as well, just being in New York City. And I'm telling you, these girls make a lot of money because I give them the opportunity to.
Yeah, I love that. I love that so much. You're taking your success and teaching it and becoming more successful. That is very inspirational, but I love that. I love that you're like, that your setup kind of takes the headache out of it. Like the way that they're paid and the way that they work, they really can't be slack because it affects them.
Exactly. But in the same token, I teach them how to work efficiently. So
I'm, right. You have the proper training.
They're doing it wrong.
Yeah. And you can do it based on your success. So you have, I mean, you have a solid plan that has worked for you. I love that. So I own a beauty company. So how do you, and I looked you up, and I don't, like when I was listening to your podcast, I eventually like started listening to your podcast. You had some really great inspirational guests on there. Well, how do you connect with a beauty company? Like for instance, like mine, a self-tanning company. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of friends in the beauty world, which I would love to connect you. I think this is why I get on here and do what I do. I love connecting female entrepreneurs with others and us all just helping each other and supporting the other. So how, like, let the business owners know out there that are looking, that are kind of clueless, how this works and what's the best way to do it. Because I do know we get hit up a lot in emails and on social media about it, but I trust you. I've read about you. She has great, she's solid. And I would love to know, like, what, you know, if you could give us some advice and what, you know, like, let us know, like, what you could do for us as brand owners.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think now more than ever, the influencer space is saturated. We mm-hmm. have Instagram, TikTok. A lot is happening. Everybody has a following these days. Everybody's a creator. So I would look into, if you're pitching influencers/creators, look into them. There's a lot of small businesses that don't know, like, hey, maybe I need to take a look at the insights. What mm-hmm. this means is, like, they have a business profile. You want them to send over their audience. You want them to send over their, you know, engagement, everything that they can only see that you don't have any visibility to. Mm-hmm. Make sure that aligns with what you're trying to pay them or offer them, as well as their following, you know, because you don't want them having fake followers. Make sure that audience makes sense for you. You know, if you're mm-hmm. trying to target women, but then you have this like cutesy girl and a bikini mm-hmm. all the time. And then you're like, whoa, 90% male followers probably isn't a fit for yeah. what you're trying to market. So be smart. Don't just be like, oh, I love this creator. I'm going to pay them XYZ or offer them, you know, dig a little deeper and, you know, have them also brainstorm collaboration ideas. Mm-hmm. I just feel like things get so stuffy and boring lately that,
or they just like say, yeah. look at my tan and tag you in their story. And you're like, wait,
yeah,
what?
Like something different, you know? Or maybe I love the like vlog, like come with me and like mm-hmm. a voiceover on a TikTok.
Love it. Me
talking
too.
Talking about, you know, your place, why they love it, showing them around. Like we want to feel engaged. We want a vlog type like style video. TikTok is just a really cool place. And then obviously you want to make sure that their followers are local. So mm-hmm. if you're looking, you know, if you, it's a local business, you don't want their followers to be in Taiwan, right? Like,
right. And it's also easier to connect with the influencer for my girls that have, I mean, you know, I have over 250 locations. So it is easier for them to connect with the influencer mm-hmm. and really like interact with them, which is more authentic, which works better. On the other hand, when I send product off, I usually just pray. Like I've done the influencers with my retail products. I've had some really great experiences, some that I was like, whatever, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. I don't let myself get too upset or concerned over it, but I love the local, finding a local influencer and making sure they have your following. That vibe is so authentic because you're one-on-one with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And then if you have another great idea is if you, you know, if it's a local place, like maybe have an influencer host influencer friend. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And get everybody together, have some like mimosas, make it super romanticized, some small bites, and then a bunch of girls, and you know, maybe
you get a ton of content yourself. Absolutely.
Together. So you want to create a community. And I think that's really awesome because the brands that are so large, it's hard for them to create a community because everybody, you know, it's a globally known brand. But if you're honing in on a certain location, bring your community together.
And it's more fun too. It's just more fun. It's just more real, which is what we all miss.
Yeah, I feel like the pandemic really like ruined a lot of things. You know, I still have meetings on Zoom and I'm like, obviously you and I are not together, so this makes sense, but I'm like, there's a brand in LA. Why are we jumping on a video call? Like,
let's just go grab some coffee and a, yes, exactly. I miss that too. I do appreciate it for situations like this, but you're right. We're missing it. And if there's a local business, that's such a good way to do it. But I even still collaborate with my local for the brand, for the retail products. I'm based out of Savannah. So it's been years. I've been here years. So our product, like today in the store, two of the products flew off the shelf and we're not even in season because of my brand awareness here, because I'm based out of here. So my brand is prominent here. They're going to buy Beet Tan over St. Tropez because my community is proud of me. So I'm just backing up your community vibe. Like, I might not be the biggest in the US, but I will always love and appreciate my community. And that will never get old for me. As big as I want to get, that will never get old for me. I miss them. I miss my community when I'm out and about at trade shows and meeting, I've missed that love and that adoration from my community who watched me grow. People really do like to watch people succeed. It's fun to watch other women thrive for most us women.
No, absolutely. And then the thing too is like, I read somewhere recently that a lot of brands are like, you know, maybe they don't want to just like rely on influencers and then they're prioritizing their consumers.
Yes.
So like, because like what they say about your product or, you know, what they, if they're using and posting, it doesn't have to be an influencer. Mm-hmm. Like if you're connecting with the community where you live or where you have your business, like it could be a consumer. It doesn't have to be someone with a million
followers. They know 100 people you don't know.
Exactly. 100 feet. Yeah. And sometimes it's more niche, right?
Exactly. So will you tell everyone where to find you? And I would love to like catch up with you again and get, because I know that with the female following and the entrepreneurs that I have that follow the podcast, I know that they'll probably have some questions. So I'll connect them to your social media and to your podcast. We'll have all of that in the show notes. And again, I'll put it on my media page on my website. But I'd really love to reconnect with you just because I have a lot in common with you, but I just find you to be so impressive. And I think as a 40-year-old company owner, I get annoyed with this part of the business, and you have made it. Just talking to you, it sounds fun and more refreshing, which I think we all need to hear sometimes. It's just good to not be sold. It's good to just get some good advice and just have this authentic connection and want to work with someone. It does get frustrating that it is saturated. So it's nice to have a voice of someone who's knowledgeable and knows what the heck is going on.
Yeah, thank you. And that's my number one thing too, is there's so many people that are hush hush in this industry that I'm like, if you want to know what rates should look like, you want to know what to do, what not to do. I am like, you know, my friends say this about me. I'm a little too vocal.
Yeah, same. It's okay. Well, I think it's good karma. I really find that it always comes back. Yeah. It always comes back and there really is enough to go around. There's nothing better than trust. And when someone trusts you, like that, earning that is so important as a company owner. And I think you've done a really good job of that.
Thank you. Yeah. And it's really nice chatting with you and
you
like
too,
female
you
founder
too.
To female founder. We have to support each other.
And yes.
Just grow together, help each other the best that we can. And it's always great. Like,
yeah, I appreciate you coming on.
discussing everything.
Yes, I completely agree. And I so appreciate you coming on, and I will be rooting you on and sharing all of your stuff. It will have all of her, where to find her, in the show notes. And I encourage everyone to listen to all of her episodes, and we'll wait patiently on the book, but follow her social media. Impressive woman. I'm so happy to have had you on here.
Thank you. It was so good chatting with you.
All right, thank you.